How about the VEGF TKIs?
So yeah, there's plenty of them out there. Many of them are promiscuous. They have more than one kind of target. We're about ready to launch randomized phase 2 with ZD6474, Zactima, in combination with docetaxel. There's just numerous ones out there. One that's more specific to VEGFR2 is the IMC1121B, which is a M-clone monoclonal antibody against VEGFR2. And so that particular trial is going through its workings right now as well. So there's plenty of them out there. Most of the ones that have multiple targets like PDGF, PDGFR, or multiple other signaling pathways in the process have different side effects, of course, that you would expect to see. For instance, if you have EGFR, you'll see rash, you see some hand-foot syndrome in some of these molecules, so it can be quite a large spectrum of toxicity. I think most of the community that I speak to is kind of frustrated with the fact that it's like we have to go through these hoops to show a benefit, and everybody wants everything that's right out of the lab. I think that in ovarian cancer, you know, we really need to do a smart job of prioritizing and setting up these studies so that we can ask and answer the questions that are really relevant for this particular tumor type. And one of the questions that comes up a lot is, you know, coming up with a biomarker that would actually show that we're doing something. It would be great if we could biopsy a tumor at many different time points and see that we're actually affecting the things that we wanted to affect, but we got to come up with something better than CA125. Elise Cohn at the NCI had a presentation at SGO that suggested that maybe CA125 is not such a great marker for biologics therapy. So I think we need to come up with some different modalities like the circulating endothelial cells or circulating cell-free nucleic acids, et cetera. What it is just another biomarker for potentially showing the validity of hitting a target that we're actually going after. And so ideally, you know, one of my challenges is to make sense of these trials that are called negative, but actually are doing what they're intended to do, like imatinib in ovarian cancer. This is a drug that targets a couple importantly expressed features of ovarian cancer, but when you give it as a single agent, sometimes all you get is toxicity. But is that too much to expect? Well, if you actually look at what imatinib is hitting and you combine it with something that is targeting a vulnerability that's created by imatinib, then maybe, you know, the proper combination needs to be put together. So I'm a little reluctant in how we make these recommendations against and for some of these drugs because we don't really understand a lot about that. But you asked a question and also about what's new, what's promising. Promising is always the last thing that looked great in the lab, and we've cured lots of mice. You know, I've always said that. But yeah, I think there's a lot of some interesting strategies. We've talked a lot today about just VEGF and some of the VEGF molecules, but in the microenvironment, neuropilins are important. We found out that PDGFR alpha might be an important target for ovarian cancer and other solid tumors. Things that are not factors, pathways that are not surface related. So these are non-surface receptor like PI3 kinase, mTOR inhibition. And what we're trying to do, and we're actually just about ready to launch our first in-human study, is the use of short interfering RNA as a therapeutic. And we will include GYN cancers in our first trial. So those particular short molecules we're actually targeting against FA2. So this is an interesting new target in ovarian cancer. So I think there's a lot of promising things coming down the line. The challenge for us in ovarian cancer, dealing with a tumor that we see less than 25,000 new cases a year, is figuring out how to best prioritize and set up the trials that are most efficient to answer the questions.